We are happy to report that there's very little chance of a wildfire today, but you know fire season will return, and it pays to be prepared for it. Fire agencies all over the region work to help homeowners and local governments prepare for the possibility of fire getting loose. That will happen, but what happens to us and our communities, we have some ability to control that. That is the premise between programs like FireWise and Fire Adapted Communities. Bend, Oregon, in the high desert, has had luck keeping fire losses to a minimum. Its program got a recent mention in the New York Times. Let's meet the person who got mentioned. That is Allison Green, who is the Project Wildfire Coordinator for Deschutes County. Thank you for joining us, Allison.
Good morning. Yes, after Christmas.
Good to have you here. Allison Lurch is with us as well, and just for the sake of being able to tell the two of them apart, since they're both named Allison, we're going to call her Allie. Allie Lurch is the Fire Adapted Communities Coordinator for Ashland Fire and Rescue. Allie, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jeffrey. Good morning.
And Allie Lurch, do you two know each other, first of all? I have to believe you've talked a few times.
Absolutely, yeah. Allison Green and I are both great friends and great colleagues.
So Allison Green, how did you end up in the New York Times?
Oh, goodness, because we were fortunate enough to have them come out and talk to us. We were lucky enough to be highlighted in their solutions column, in the sixes column, which is an opinion column that is featured in the New York Times. And so they came out and did an initial story on some of our successes and then came out and did another story just recently. So very exciting to see us featured. But also a little humbling all at the same time.
And what was it that drew their attention to Project Wildfire in Deschutes County?
I think the original conversation actually began with our growth rate. We're seeing a significant growth rate in Deschutes County. So the initial column actually was based off of how we are preparing and planning in the context of land use, and how that interacts with wildfire. And then it kind of morphed into our partners with the planning departments, guiding them to us. So it was a good conversation to highlight land use decisions and how we can plan better in the wildland-urban interface and some of the great successes we've had in Deschutes County over the last 15 years.
So it sounds like it goes beyond just making sure that you've got defensible space around homes. You're also talking about where to place homes in the first place.
That's correct. We have a significant, I'm sure Allie would echo this, but we have a significant retrofitting conversation we need to have with folks that already have homes built. And that's certainly something that we deal with every day. The other piece of it is as those homes go up, how can we make them safer in all of our communities, not just in Central Oregon.
And what kinds of results have you had, Allison Green, with Project Wildfire, at least in terms of numbers of houses that have not burned really over the last few years?
We have kind of had the perfect storm, so to speak. So we've had a lot of efforts in preparation for folks doing defensible space work, which essentially is actions people can take to make their home safer. We've also had significant work on our public lands, and then we have an excellent fire response. So we have only lost 3 homes due to wildfire since 2003 in Deschutes County.
Wow, that is a good record. And I imagine there's a similar fortunate record for the city of Ashland as well, Allie Lurch.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're doing very similar things in our city here with our Fire Adapted Communities program. Still very involved in the FireWise USA neighborhood program, which Ashland is definitely on the top of that curve. But we haven't had a significant home loss since the 2010 Oak Knoll fire. So we're at about an 8-year stretch here, too, where the preparations have really been, you know, a success at right now. But for us here, we have been focusing on how we can do a little bit more regulations within our city as well. So with our newer built homes now within the city of Ashland, we have adopted a wildfire ordinance where new homes will actually have to perform defensible space before building materials are even on site.
Really? So site clearing even before the construction materials show up?
That is correct. And so that's our hope, at least, that we can hit that percentage of our city that is doing new builds. But really what Allison Green touched on is that we have a lot of homes that are already built and will never have to pull up a planning action or to be involved with this ordinance. So we really need to still focus on proactive measures on already built structures.
That is a big difference between Ashland and Bend, and that Ashland is really not extending outward the way Bend is. Correct, Allie?
Correct.
All right. We're talking to Allie Lurch from the Ashland Fire Adapted Communities Program. She's the coordinator for that. Allison Green is with Deschutes County's Project Wildfire Program. She's the coordinator for that. You can join the conversation on the exchange as we talk about wildfire prevention, how to keep wildfire from spreading in communities, because you can't stop the fire itself. How can you stop it from going house to house? Join us on the exchange to ask questions or make some comments here about programs that we're talking about. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Allie Lurch, I'll bring this to you because you seem to have both terms in use, but fire-adapted communities and FireWise, are they the same thing?
No, they are two different things. So FireWise USA is an actual recognition program through the National Fire Protection Association. And fire-adapted communities is more of the big concept that these cities and towns and communities that live within wildfire-prone areas need to adopt. So it's not just doing defensible space. It's thinking about other codes and ordinances that we can do to create more ignition-resistant structures. It's also working with non-traditional partners, which Allison also touched upon. So at least within the city of Ashland, we're really focusing on our economic development and working with our Chamber of Commerce to help work with our city to how to adapt to this new wildfire environment, and especially for us, the smoke seasons. It's also making sure we have effective wildfire response, and our Ashland Fire and Rescue firefighters are all wildland firefighter trained. And there's many more on this sort of suite of activities that we just need to always be doing so that we can say that we are adapting to wildfire.
Allison Green, if you would, take a little sidetrack for us and talk about what it's like when you're in the business you're in to look at what happened to a place like Paradise, California, and what you thought about that first as a human being, and then second, what sorts of things you thought you might be able to make use of in your work.
And it's tough, you know, especially as a human being and, you know, and somebody who was actually born in the Sierra Nevadas. You know, I have still a family that's down in Central California. Luckily, none of them have been impacted, knock on wood. You know, as a fire practitioner, what I see when I look at some of the photos from the car fire, from the campfire, a lot of the devastating events we have seen over the last, you know, even 24 months, is it's really that focus on what the residents can do in built structures. We are seeing these fires, wherever they may ignite, coming into private property. And especially Paradise, I think there was an amazing article that came out. Of course, it was right over Thanksgiving, but the title of the article was, "Why Are All the Trees Still Green?" And so when we look at some of these photos from these large-scale events, we are not seeing, you know, what we stereotypically think of as a fire moving through the landscape like a tsunami wave. We are seeing homes and, you know, nothing left but the chimneys and skeletons of fire of cars, but the evergreen trees next to them are still green, which tells us as fire practitioners, what took out that home were the embers, that they actually fly ahead of a flaming front anywhere from 1 to 3 miles, still hot. So what they do is those embers will land in folks' yards, in their gutters, they'll land in the arborvitae right underneath a picture window, the bark dust that's right up against their deck. And so those embers will sit there and smolder and ultimately are the cause of the home's ignition. And so there are really easy, simple steps that homeowners can take to prevent that ember ignition, and then ultimately prevent their home from burning down during a wildland fire event. So that defensible space, sometimes it's easy, you know, it's easy messaging, but at the same time, all of us homeowners have competing interests. You know, a water heater goes out, so you didn't get to clean out the gutters or whatever it may be. But taking those simple defensible space steps, it can be the difference between your home surviving and it not surviving a large-scale event like Paradise.
I'm glad you brought up that particular issue with Paradise, because I had noticed that as well. You're looking at the pictures of devastation and can't figure out why there are green trees in the middle of it all. And you just explained it. It's because of the embers traveling, not like a wave of fire sweeping through. So Allie Lurch, particularly for a built-in, compact, and getting tighter community like Ashland, I mean, do you get a lot of people who think that defensible space is just for people in the country?
You know, absolutely. There's definitely the perception out there that people still say, it's not going to matter to me. However, it really, like Allison Green said, it really does matter. And these simple steps are really what I educate when we do our free FireWise assessments. And so we might walk around the home, and in Ashland, there are many beautiful older conifer trees. And maybe there's just one on the property. And so I don't really focus a lot on that when I'm talking to them now. I really focus on educating them of the steps that Allison Green just said. One of the things that wasn't mentioned is making sure that all vents are screened in with an eighth of an inch screening or less, because that could also prevent a burning ember from coming into your attic or to your crawl space. But what we try to do is to make it a little less overwhelming, because it is a little overwhelming to think that a fire could come through our town. And so I do give them these tangible steps that they can take. And it's usually cleaning the gutters, checking your vents, and removing the bark from 5 feet around your house. And I truly believe that everybody can do this within our town, and that we can definitely reduce our wildfire risk.
We're talking bark mulch, that kind of thing, pull it away from the house?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anything that's fine fuel, you know, the pine needles, bark mulch, things like that, dead leaves, anything like that should just be removed from the house. Because the thing is also with those photos, the post-fire photos with the campfire, the trees might be remaining, but there is no ground fuel next to the homes. So all those bushes and grasses and things like that next to the homes, those will readily ignite.
So the fire took the easiest path, the path of least resistance.
Right.
Ultimately. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Allie Lurch from Ashland's Fire Adapted Communities Program. She's the Fire Adapted Communities Coordinator. Allison Green is with Deschutes County. She's the Project Wildfire Coordinator there. You can join the conversation on the exchange as we talk about protecting communities from wildfire spreading into and through town and across everybody's property. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Allison Green, the pull quote that the New York Times used in profiling the Project Wildfire program in Deschutes County from you is, people think there's nothing they can do to protect their homes. Then the light bulb comes on. I am not helpless. I can do something here. I imagine you've seen that light bulb come on a few times, more than a few times.
Because that means we're being effective. No, it's really kind of what Allie was saying, is to make this education and these actions accessible. It is really easy to look at what's happening and just kind of be like, well, I live in the woods, the risk I live with, and it is what it is, and it's going to be fine, and until it's not, and I have insurance, and we'll move on. And I really do want residents to know that there are really easy things you have to do. You don't have to spend $8,000 to have that one beautiful conifer taken down. You know, as you were saying, Jeff, fire takes the path of, so it will find things like the small kindling pieces that we use to build a campfire in your yard or in your vents. And so there are really simple, cheap actions folks can take around their home. You know, calling their local fire department if they have an organization similar to what Allison Lurch has going on, or Project Wildfire, or check out firewise.org. There are some amazing recommendations that can get done in a weekend that can make your home ignition resistant and have an 85% chance of surviving a wildfire without any fire officials needing to be there.
So we talked about, Allie Lurch talked about the size of screen for the vents, foundation and eaves vents, attic vents. We talked about gutters, clearly making sure that there's nothing in there, and then pulling the bark, dust, and mulch away from the house. What else? I mean, what are some of the other things on the top five, top ten, Allison Green?
I think one of the best quotes I've heard of an Oregon program called Keep Oregon Green, but it's that first 30 feet around your house should be lean, mean, and green. So it should be things that are relatively cut low. You don't want like 6-foot tall brush, whatever the species, right up next to your house. You want to make sure that it's green, it's well irrigated, and that it's made of fire-resistant materials. So you really want things that, you know, succulents, you want things that are essentially not evergreens and high in oils. That's kind of a general blanket statement. But overall, you want something that is going to be high in moisture content and harder to ignite in that first 30 feet around your house.
All right, so no juniper trees for sure.
Not within the books, can have those out and about.
Right. How far should a juniper tree be from the house, Allie Lurch?
Really, honestly, we would love them to be no closer than 30 feet from a structure. Mm-hmm. And the thing in our situation in Ashland, though, with our tightly built community, we're not just talking about having a juniper tree next to your house, but what about a juniper bush or a flammable tree next to your neighbor's house as well? So it's not just taking into account your postage stamp of a property. It's also thinking about your neighbors.
All right. So how do you approach that, though? I mean, is this where FireWise comes in and helps coordinate things? Because it's not like, I mean, you don't make great neighbors by going, hey, you need to cut that tree down.
Right. That's definitely where FireWise USA can really come into play, because FireWise really is a community building program. So neighbors talking to neighbors, and we really try to do a grassroots approach instead of a professional like myself knocking on someone's door and saying, you have to do this. And the program has been very successful in that sort of peer-to-peer connection for this issue.
So much of the attention to these programs appears to be focused on the community, just getting people in the neighborhoods to recognize what the potential dangers are around their houses and making corrections there. But what kinds of tools do you seek from city government as well? I mean, things like changes in building codes or declarations of zones or anything like that. Allie Lurch, you've been involved with this in Ashland. Where does that stand?
Right. Well, you know, the zone change recently this year, we extended our what's called the wildfire lands overlay to extend to the entire city. So now the entire city of Ashland is actually a wildfire hazard zone, and that is what I mentioned earlier with new buildings now have to have that defensible space. But we don't want to always just focus on rules and regulations. We also want to provide other services. And so this year we also adopted a new emergency notification system called Nixle. And so we ask our citizens to all sign up for free to be on this notification system that we will be able to alert you in case of an emergency or an evacuation as well. So it's not just all about the codes, it's many different pieces. And then also coming from the government here, from our local city, we want to be able to offer that free service of an assessment of your home. So it's assessment can sometimes come with some baggage. People might think there's a fee or that it's, a recorded document, but it really is a true one-on-one educational piece that we can do with the landowners. And I think most of the time, people actually go and do the recommendations, the tree trimming, the bark mulch removal, and all the things that we do. I truly believe most of our population actually does those changes after we do that assessment.
So, A, it's free. B, nobody's taking a list downtown to keep track of the bad shape of your house or something.
Right, exactly.
Allison Green, how closely does Project Wildfire come to some of these things that are offered as well?
I was going to say, feel like we could explain each other's program, where I'm so fortunate that I get to work with Allie Lurch. But it's, you know, it's certainly having that support from local, in our case, kind of at that county scale, the county government as well, is, you know, one thing that helps us quite a bit, and, you know, we never want to talk about it, but that consistent funding. And so, you know, us, for instance, Project Wildfire, we are a county organization. We go out and we seek grants, but our day-to-day education is actually approved by our elected officials. And so it's something where that support, financial, spoken, everything means it. Because at the end of the day, if we don't have support from our elected officials in land use decisions, funding, education, all of these things, then there is no way we're going to make any progress. Down to the resident level, it is something where I get that question all the time when we go out and take a walk with somebody. Are you guys going to send this to my insurance company? And that is the number one question we get. When we are doing FireWise assessments, your fire department's out there to help you. They're truly out there to help you and just give you recommendations that are tailored to your home and to your yard so that you can make those adjustments.
Are there communities in Deschutes County, it being drier than Ashland for sure, that have wildfire hazard zones like has been extended to the whole city of Ashland?
We actually to outlaw woodshake roofing in the county. Back in 2001, the entire county has actually been classified as a wildfire hazard zone. So it fits. we have very different vegetation kind of throughout the county. We have four distinct vegetation types, and each of them have different burn intervals. So fire will come and visit them at different intervals. But every single spot has homes intermixed with that vegetation type. So it is something where the wildfire risk is everywhere, whether you're on kind of the dry, high desert, arid western juniper side of things, or if you're in lodgepole pine in Lapine where I'm at, it really, you have wildfire risk all the way around. So we do have that overlay here locally.
And Allie Lurch, if somebody wants to know, if they don't live in one of the communities that has a FireWise program, though, I mean, first of all, if they go to FireWise USA online, can they find out if their community is involved in it?
On the FireWise USA website, they do have a national map that you can zoom to, but you can also go to our local website, ashlandfirewise.org, and then you'll be able to see our map with our 33 FireWise communities.
All right, and it looks like if they just go to nfpa.org, they can get the national FireWise communities.
Absolutely.
Okay, lots of work going on now and lots of work going on always because there's always the danger of wildfire in our region. So that's why we're talking about it now when it's not much of an issue. Allison Green is the Project Wildfire Coordinator for Deschutes County. Allie Lurch is Ashland's Fire Adapted Communities Coordinator. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you too.